could be argued that this could be viewed as certainly a national security issue down the road, and we don't want to get there.
World-leading research is conducted every day at Kansas State University and at other land-grant institutions across the country, but leaders say aging infrastructure could put that research at risk. That's today on Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau. Walk into any of the College of Agriculture buildings at Kansas State University, and you might not believe that cutting-edge research is being conducted in facilities built in the 40s and 50s. That's not only the reality for K-State, but also other land-grant institutions and research universities around the country. Data from a recently published report from Gordian, conducted on behalf of the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities, or APLU, says that agriculture contributed $1.09 trillion to the U.S. GDP and accounts for 22.2 million jobs. But Dr. Ernie Minton, the dean of the College of Agriculture at K-State, told me that aging infrastructure is putting the cutting-edge research they perform at risk. In today's episode, you will hear firsthand the challenges that K-State and other academic institutions face as their facilities age nearly beyond repair.
Well, today I'm joined by Dean Minton, who's the dean of K-State's College of Agriculture, to kind of talk about a number of issues related to specifically infrastructure and agriculture and kind of what that looks like for Kansas State and around the country. But first, I just got to ask, why did you choose a career in agriculture? What led you to that? And kind of how did you get to where you are today to be the dean of one of the country's best ag schools?
Thank you. Noah, it's great to have an opportunity to really kind of explain that and lay it out. Actually, both of my parents were from small family farms in southwestern Kentucky, and my mom and dad grew up in the days of the Depression when parents were advising their kids to don't come back to the farm, find something else to do. My dad ended up getting a PhD in history and was a professor at Western Kentucky University. I grew up in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Went to a non-land-grant college of agriculture at Western Kentucky, and then graduate school at Oklahoma State before I came here on the faculty. What I found happening to me in college is I was really a lover of at that time, animal agriculture in particular, but I also was really intrigued by science. And I didn't know until I did a senior project that there was such a field called agriculture research. And so I looked for an opportunity to kind of marry that passion for livestock and animal agriculture with discovery and science. And so I got my degree in animal physiology and moved to K-State in 83. Had a research and teaching career, mostly at the graduate level, until I came over here to the dean's office, and it's been great. And I've had my whole academic career here at K-State, and so we really have, my wife and I, a passion for Manhattan and especially also for this school. So that's a thumbnail sketch.
So yeah, tell me a little bit about that appointment to be the dean of the college. I know that's a recent appointment, so if you could kind of just walk me through kind of what that's been like for you and that transition over to administration from faculty.
I came over in 2008, and so my administrative career following my faculty career in animal science has been one with that's been a matter of experiencing shocks. So I came over as the associate dean for research when Fred Cholik was dean. So I came over in February of 2008, and then of course later that year, with the meltdown of Lehman Brothers, the Great Recession hit, and so we went through a period of economic downturn. Been through an interim dean with Gary Przinski and then Dean John Floros. And then there was an opportunity when Dr. Floros left to become interim dean, and then made the decision to throw my name in the hat for the permanent dean position, and was fortunate enough to get that. And that was in July of 2019. And we all know, beginning in about December of 2019, January, February, March of 2020, what happened. So I haven't had a normal run, I don't think, because COVID happened, and then earlier than that, the financial meltdown and the Great Recession. But I'll say this, when I'm working maybe past 5 and I look out, particularly in the fall and winter when it begins to get dark outside, and I look outside on the quad, I really feel so fortunate to be in this position as dean at a college, at a university, and within a college where agriculture makes a difference and is really important. And so, I feel fortunate. I feel very proud, too, because of the dedication of our faculty, staff, and students. You know, others from outside have ranked us very high. We're pleased that the methodology that's used to push us up in the rankings really reflects our commitment to students. And so it's net. It has its days, right? But it's a very rewarding experience.
Definitely, and it's good you mentioned the building there, because a major conversation right now in the country is infrastructure. We've seen the administration has really been talking about this. But I had the chance to read your opinion piece in the Kansas City Star and in the Capital Journal about Kansas's aging agricultural infrastructure. And you had a line there that I wanted to point out. You said, quote, "Why is the United States still trying to conduct 21st century research in facilities built in the 1950s? In this piece, you mentioned a number of other hurdles Kansas is facing. So why is the landscape of agriculture infrastructure so important, and why right now especially? What's going on with that conversation?
Well, going back actually maybe 6 or so years, the deans of colleges of agriculture across the United States in that organization that they belong to, called the Board on Agricultural Assembly, which is part of the larger APLU, or the Association of Public and Land Grant Universities, began to really recognize and acknowledge that our infrastructure was beginning to age out. And we commissioned a study at that time that documented a tremendous nationwide need. And that study was completed, and you know, was sitting there kind of on the shelf, and there are changes in leadership at you know, both in the presidency and in Washington D.C. and in other areas. We had a change in leadership here at the university, and so long story short, that. Report sat on the shelf. In the early days of the Trump administration, of course, there was a discussion about the need for national infrastructure. And so it occurred to us this might be a good time to refresh those data and make a push to try to get something done. Be ready should that infrastructure opportunity present itself. And so we've gathered the data. We're in a position to do that. And so whatever infrastructure plan might come out of Washington, and if federal resources become available, we want to be ready. And we've done some preparation here at K-State in terms of a college-wide master plan. Now, to get to the part of your question, like why now, why today? Let me just say a couple things. There's a fairly well-documented, deep body of literature that's been generated primarily by our colleagues in agricultural economics that really has documented that the payoff for investment in food and agriculture, natural resources, research and development is very, very big. It's always double digits to one, and in some cases it's more than 1 to 10 to 1. It's more on the order of 1 to 30, 35, and so on over a number of years. And, you know, to really quickly cite how can that be. And so an investment, for example, that we might make in developing a wheat variety doesn't pay off next year. It pays off 10 years, grows 15 years, and then begins to wane. So across the whole landscape, the payoff to investment is really big. And of course, with a state so heavily based in agriculture like we are, we figure into that economic prosperity role. So we've had a company look at our data. It looks like we're on the order of a conservative estimate, 17 to 1. And so the payoff is huge. And so the flip side of that is when we don't invest in agriculture, R&D, and when I say that, I mean the whole thing, food, value-added products. And when I say natural resources, that's, you know, the water we use for irrigation, soil health, those kinds of things. Then that represents lost opportunity for prosperity in agriculture. So we've been doing very, very well in facilities that are getting very, very old. The last building on campus was the Throckmorton complex, and that was built in stages, but essentially through the late 80s, finish up in the early 90s. We've had some newer facilities that have been added north of campus, the flour mill, the feed mill, the agronomy education center, and others. But our on-campus facilities are really falling into disrepair. And so we're doing great work. Our faculty are making the best of it. But we've got to get on top of this. And we've got to create an urgency, or there's always, well, we'll get to it next year, or we'll get to it the year after that. So we're trying to draw a line in the sand.
Yeah, and what hurdles is that? Are these aging facilities causing for K-State and research to be done? And not only research, but education as well.
Yeah, so I'll start with the education piece. And so we have a very, very high yield. Our reputation is that if we can get students on campus in general, we can really create a great experience for prospective students, and we end up getting quite a few. If they make a visit here and they make a visit to some of our surrounding states, they're going to find some facilities that obviously look more modern. That leaves an impression with, in particular, 18-year-olds and their families. And so, we think it's important to deliver in classrooms with the latest technology, but also you certainly want to look like you're part of a winning team. And we know we're a winning team. We have dedicated faculty and staff to make our student success second to none. But we need a set of facilities that matches that delivery. And then on the research side, it's just a matter of things like our greenhouses, which are getting old enough that, yes, we can still conduct the kinds of plant sciences studies that we need to, except that when controllers go out, they're getting old enough, it's hard to find parts, those kinds of things. In our meat laboratory, for example, there's been a change in the size of cattle that are harvested, and so we find our meat slaughter facilities are aging out. It's becoming more and more difficult to adjust to the modern times. And so those are some just real quick examples of how we have to find workarounds to get accomplished what we need to get accomplished.
Absolutely. And a big conversation that relating to infrastructure that a lot of folks are having in Manhattan right up now and right up the road from us right now is the National Bio and Agri-Defense Facility. Mm-hmm. That's a $1.25 billion investment from the federal government in agriculture. Is NBAF going to play any sort of play into infrastructure here at K-State, or what do you see the future with NBAF coming online being for supporting research here at Kansas State?
Yeah, that's a good question and a fair one. And, of course, the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility is going to be a high-containment animal disease laboratory, which is going to be run by the federal government. And to get into the research spaces within NBAF, there will need to be obviously quite a bit of training and federal clearance and so on. And so I would say that most likely, and this is a big generalization, that we will have collaborations that happen between the College of Veterinary Medicine, scientists, for example, that work in the BRI, and within the college itself. Those are obvious ones because the veterinary school deals with animal diseases. But I do think there is an opportunity. In fact, I know already there is with scientists in the College of Agriculture in particular to work on vector-borne diseases. And so we have a Department of Entomology, and actually scientists from NBAF have already reached out to us to understand what we can do, how we can interact with them, and so on. And interestingly enough, they're finding that the spaces that are allocated for NBAF scientists to work on vector-borne diseases may not be large enough for what they anticipate doing. But we think that we can accommodate at least some of those needs within laboratories facilities that we have currently, in terms of tick and fly and other insect-borne diseases that will have relevance to livestock.
So in all of this, the conversation about agricultural infrastructure, what role does the Kansas legislature play in agricultural infrastructure here at Kansas State?
Well, in an ideal world, if we are fortunate enough to receive federal support to help modernize some of our infrastructure, almost certainly we'll be asked to provide a non-federal match of some sort to those federal dollars. We can do some of that with philanthropy, that is private fundraising, but it certainly would be helpful if we could get some assistance from the state, and of course the legislature in terms of its appropriating authority could be a big help there if the opportunity arises. And so a partnership between federal dollars, state dollars, and philanthropic dollars would certainly be welcome and would certainly take us further in terms of achieving our overall master plan, which is fairly sizable.
So kind of on another note here, K-State's Ag School ranks number 7 in the country, according to NIESH, which is a national ranking of agricultural schools across the country, beating out schools like The Ohio State, Clemson, and ranks top in the Big 12 right now. What do you attribute, even with those aging facilities, we're still ranking very high in the country. What do you attribute to the success of K-State, even with these outdated facilities that you mentioned?
Yes, that really is related to an answer I provided earlier, but I'll elaborate on that. In the NIESH studies, accompanying the hard data, and by that I mean how large is your endowment pool, and other kinds of things that we don't have direct control over. There are other larger schools which ranked above us, but the things that really pulled K-State up into the top 10, and in that NIESH ranking, we've been 6th, we've been 8th, and now this current year we're 7th. It's always been from alumni survey who answer questions like my professor took an interest in my career. My professor had a strong interest in teaching and learning. And K-State ranked number one in almost all of those categories. And so these kinds of things, and that's that dedication to student success, student learning, student services writ large, that's our bread and butter. And we're really proud of that. And we think it really reflects the land-grant university mission. We've got data that, here at K-State, we've got a fairly open admissions policy. And so we take students who otherwise might be at risk academically, but with good advising and careful mentoring, we're able to take those students and send them out with very, very good jobs. And so in that way, adding value to the lives of students. And so we're very, very proud of that. And I think that's what's reflected in those niche.com data.
And how would an investment in infrastructure benefit not only Kansas, but the United States?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The studies that I referred to that really are the scholarship of some agricultural economists, you know, really speak to that. And it can get a little bit technical at times, but that investment in infrastructure is, in fact, an investment in food, agriculture, natural resources, research and development. And so what this allows schools like Kansas State University, and then if you think of the region, Oklahoma State, Colorado State, University of Nebraska, Iowa State, Missouri, we're bringing literally tens of millions of dollars into the state each year in the form of research grants from outside the state. A lot of that is federal money, which gets spent to conduct research. So items are purchased, there's some commerce there, but also we're hiring postdocs and graduate students and so on, and they are in turn shopping at the local grocery store and participating in the local economy in that way. And so all of this together really creates a win-win. We advance the knowledge in fields of food and agricultural sciences and also generate economic activity within the state. And then there are these spillovers into the region. Again, there are lags, and it a dollar spent today ends up creating economic activity, you know, a decade out. And so it's a continuum, and that's certainly part of what we should be doing.
And where would you say the public investment in agriculture is today compared to it was, say, 30 years ago?
Yeah. So in real terms, and without citing specific data, I have seen graphics on this. That investment, even though in some cases the dollars have gone up, they have not kept up when adjusted for inflation. And so they have been lagging. And the important part about that gradual divestment, I guess is a way to say it, is that that in fact will decrease our ability to amplify the economic drivers that research and development have. But I think the other important thing that folks need to realize is that other countries have been investing, and given that investments today yield benefits 5-10 years down the road, again, in terms of new crop varieties, understanding genetics and diseases and livestock and across the whole system, the United States really needs to be careful about our place in the world in terms of our food system really is what it boils down to. So it could be argued that this could be viewed as a certainly a national security issue down the road, and we don't want to get there.
Absolutely. And finally, how can people support the effort to renew agricultural infrastructure here at K-State?
You know, I'd say there are a number of ways. Certainly, we benefited from a committed population of alumni who've been generous in terms of supporting our efforts to raise funds to address our phase one needs, which largely are identified to replace the Schellenberger Hall and the home for the Department of Grain Sciences and Industry. But there are other interests that alumni have as well, and so that private fundraising is one direct opportunity. But then the second one is really to let their local legislators, representatives, and so on understand that they're passionate about Kansas State University being at the forefront in terms of agriculture and the food system. And the same would be true if they're in a position to and so inclined to interact with our federal legislative body as well. Those are all opportunities to share their opinions and concerns about investment in agricultural infrastructure.
All righty, perfect. Well, Dr. Minton, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Happy to visit with you.
And a special thank you to Dr. Minton for taking the time to talk with us about this issue. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Inside Ag. We'll see you next time. Inside Ag is made possible by the Kansas Farm Bureau members from across the 105 counties of Kansas. To find out more about KFB and how you can join, visit www.kfb.org.